Good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuvos Ayin Hey. We're $9. We're $9 Amud Beis. We're going to be starting really at the top of the Amud. We're going to be opening up this morning with the words Tanur Rabbanan. It's the first line, an Ayin Dal Amud Beis, and here we are in the seventh parak of the Masechta. A couple more dapim to go until we finish the seventh parak. But meanwhile, three more dapim to be specific. Today, tomorrow, and the day thereafter, Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. We complete this parak, and here. So a lot of focus on Nedarim, but a lot of focus on what's going to be grounds for divorce. Husband and wife get married, and he discovers that there are issues. So issues can be defined as a couple of issues that are going to be grounds for divorce, and one of them is Nedarim. Happens to be that she makes a lot of Nedarim. He didn't know that. And not only that, maybe she already had Nedarim going into the marriage. He didn't know that as well. So under what circumstances exactly is this marriage now going to be terminated? And if she made the neder, so does she forfeit her ksuva? A little bit later today, in today's daf, we're going to be talking about mumim. Physical blemishes were not disclosed. And then the second half of today's daf, we're going to be talking about where there was discovery of physical blemishes that were not congenital. And when did they develop and when did they arise? And so it's going to be one of those classic Gemaras where we're not sure when they arose. And so therefore the question of who is going to be taking responsibility for it and who has to bear the responsibility for it. Okay. So these are going to be the topics of discussion that we're having. So what did we learn yesterday? That in the event that he stipulates and he says, I do not want to marry you with Nedarim. And he made that very clear stipulation. So under those circumstances, so now the marriage is going to be annulled. He made a stipulation. The stipulation wasn't bound to, and so the marriage is going to be annulled. Now everything got complicated in yesterday's daf, both yesterday and the day before. Ayin Gimel, Ayin Dalet. The whole matter got complicated because he made that stipulation at the point of Erusin, and then they went through Nisuin, and they had relations with one another at the point of Nisuin. Are those relations going to be halachically significant? So Rav was of the position: yes, they are going to be halachically significant. And that's what we discussed for the last number of days in terms of that particular complication. But now, as we start today's daf for $9 mitzvahs, so the Gemara now is going to discuss whether or not any of this becomes solvable. So Tanur Rabbanan, halchaytzo chachmitira mekudeshes. So let's say it was post kedushin, and he made a tanai. I'm not marrying you with nedarim. And so what does she do? She says, oh, I'm in trouble. So she goes to a chacham. She goes to a chacham to be matir neder. Right? When we go through neder, we're going to go through the more formal process of how to be matir neder. But she does it. She does exactly that process. So under those circumstances, where she goes to a chacham, she's matir neder. Good. So now the neder is undone. And so now the kedushin is valid. Eitzel rof evripa soin emekudeshes. However, if let's say she has a mum, but it's something that you could deal with. The doctor can prescribe, the doctor can treat, and now she is free from that mum. So under those circumstances, ain't a mekudeshes. In other words, he stipulated at the time of kedushin, I'm not marrying you with a mum, and it turns out that she had a mum. So ain't a mekudeshes, the kedushin is not going to be good, even if she went to the doctor and got healed. And now you have to ask the obvious question. What's the difference? The Gemara asks that question. Ma bein chacham l'rofe. So the Gemara gives a fundamental answer. Chacham okeres haneder mikar v'rofe in a marpe ela mikan l'abba. So the Gemara says whether or not we're going to go back retroactively. So when a chacham is matir neder, it's the nature of hataras chacham, and that is that it goes back retroactively, meaning that the neder is uprooted from the point in which it was made. So even though there was historically a neder, but through Hataras Chacham, neder's not there, even retroactively. On the other hand, when she goes to a doctor in order to treat whatever blemish she had, and it is treatable, so it's true that the doctor treated it, but obviously only Mikano Laba. Doctor cannot take back the fact that she had physically a mum going back historically at the point of Kedushin. And so now, when you work backwards in time, so you say to yourself, what happened at the point of Kedushin? He stipulated, I'm not marrying you with a mum. And at the time, she had a mum. She subsequently went to a doctor and treated it. Okay, that's true. But in other words, but what we're litigating is, was the Kedushin a valid Kedushin? No, because at the time of Kedushin, she had a mum. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, but what I have is another Braisa. And in the second Braisa, if you go to a Chacham and you're Matir, if you go to a rofe and you're merape, eina mikudeshes. So here in the second brisa, the brisa says nothing is correctable. The neder that she had, even if she went to a chacham, is not going to it's not going to relieve the tanai. In other words, the tanai is still in place. The marriage is still no good. Same thing with a mum. So obviously, what we have over here is the stir between two brisas. Brisa number one taught us that if she went to a chacham to be mater the neder, good, that undoes it. Brisa number two says that if she goes to a chacham in order to undo it, it doesn't help the marriage. So where are we standing? We're right now standing between two brisas. Well, hold on. Before we get to Cohen, let's try to resolve the two brises. So Amar Rav Lo Kasha HaRebbe Meir HaRebbe Lazar. So here we are. Approach number one. Approach number one is going to take us into today's daf, and that is that it's a machlokas tanaim. Now, what's a machlokas tanaim? So the Gemara is going to explain. HaRebbe Meir Damrei Adam Rosh Shitas Baza Ishto BeBeisdin. Rav Meir is of the position that a husband has no problem with his wife going to Beisdin. So going to Beis Din is strenuous. It's stressful. It's difficult. So would a husband want his wife to go to Beis Din? So oddly enough, this is a machlokas tanaim. Ramer's of the position that, yeah, it's okay, it's fine. Generally speaking, a husband has no problem having his wife go to the Beis Din. It doesn't bother him. And how Rav Elazar d'amar eina d'amar says she tizbaz ishto beis din. On the other hand, Rav Elazar of the position that the general position of men is that they don't want their wives to go to Beis Din. It is too stressful. It's too public. It's too, it's whatever. It's a difficulty that the husband simply does not want to tolerate, does not want to stomach. Now, they have to go to the Beis Din because of Sheilas Chacham. In other words, she has a neder. The neder has to be undone. And the only way it can be undone is going to a Chacham. Chacham right now is going to be in the Beis Din. So now, Mayhi. So this machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, which admittedly is an interesting machlokas, and I'm not sure if I'm able to really articulate what they're arguing about. But we know it's a machlokas, and as the Gemara is about to point out, how do we know it? For the following, Didnan. So let's say a man divorces his wife because of Nedarim. Can't take her back. Because of Motzi Shemra. So he can't take her back. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar called Nedar Shiyadu Bo Rabim Lo Yachzir Lo Yadu Bo Rabim Yachzir. And Rabbi Yehuda says it depends what kind of neder we're talking about. If it's a neder shiyadu bo rabim, that the public knew about it, so then you can't take her back. Lo yachzir. However, lo yadu bo rabim, but if it's a private neder that the public did not know about, so then yachzir, then you can't take her back. And Reb Meir Omer kol neder shetzar chakir eschacham lo yachzir v'shein etzar chakir eschacham yachzir. And Ramir's of the position, it also depends on the kind of neder. If it's a kind of neder where she has to go to a chacham in order to be matir, so then don't take her back. You cannot take her back. If it's the kind of neder where the husband himself can be mayfair, i.e., it's a neder of inui nefesh, it's a neder of dvarim meino leveina, if it's that kind of neder, so then you can take her back. Okay, so, the Amar Rebbe Lazar, lo asu tzarech, ela ben meishenu tzarech. And Rebbe Lazar is of the position that the only reason why the asered sarich, meaning the kind of neder where you need a chakiras chacham, is only because of a neder she'enu tzarich, where you don't need a chakiras chacham. Now, my time is Rebbe Yehuda. Okay, so there are a number of shitas in terms of what happened. Your wife made a neder, you learned about it, you divorced her, and whether or not you could take her back. So what do we have? A lot of shitas in the brisa that we just learned together. Right now, we want to be focusing on really the sheet of Rav Meir. But as long as we're here, the Gemara simply points out, my time with the Rav Yehuda dichsiv, as far as the sheet of Rav Yehuda is concerned, what's the root reason behind Rav Yehuda? Let's remind each other. What did Rav Yehuda say? Rav Yehuda says, kol neder shiyadu ba rabin, that if the public knew about this neder, so then you cannot take her back. So what's behind that? So the Gemara quotes, v'lo ikum b'nei Yisrael, ki nishbu lahem nisiyeh ha'idam. Okay, so as we're now on the top of Ayin Hey Amad Aleph, so we remind ourselves about the episode of Yoshua and the Givonim. And what happened was that the Givonim, who are really one of the Canaanim, they were one of the Canaanite nations. So they dressed up, they disguised themselves, they went to Yoshua, and they seeked a peace treaty with Yoshua, and a peace treaty was made. And a Shvuah ratified that peace treaty. And it was made in public. And because of all of the above, So once it's made in public, so that's it. In other words, it cannot be undone. It cannot recant on a shvuah that's made publicly. And then the Gemara goes on to a detail of the Kama Rabbim. We say it's public. What does that mean? Public in this, vis-a-vis this particular halacha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Shlosha Yamim. I'm sorry, Shlosha Yamim Shnayim. Rabbim Shlosha. So in other words, based on a drasha of Yamim being two, Rabbim being three. So in other words, it has to be three. And Rav Yitzchak Amar Asara Eidak Sivbei. And according to Rav Yitzchak, it's going to be 10 based on the fact that the pasuk uses the word Eida. Eida usually indicates that it's 10. Okay, so machlokus amarayim, exactly how much public means. But in other words, public means that once it's done in public, so it cannot be undone. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if she made a public neder, so a public neder can't be undone. You divorce her because of the public neder. I'll remarry her. It won't be a big deal. In other words, we'll just undo the neder. You can't undo the neder if it was made in public. That was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Good. That's not our focus. Our focus right now is on Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara now points out, Rabbi Meir Omer called neder shetzer chakir es chacham lo yachzir. So Rabbi Meir says that if there's a requirement of chakir es chacham, so then you cannot take her back. And Rabbi Elazar Omer lo asur tzarech elam in meshenu tzarech. And Rabbi Elazar will tell you, no, the tzarech neder doesn't bother me. But they prohibited tzarech neder because of the eino tzarech, meaning when I don't need a beis din. So when I don't need a beis din, what does that mean? It means I could have tended it to myself. So But the Gemara now wants to point out, what's the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar? Meaning Rav Meir says that if I need a chakir as chacham, don't take her back. Well, what is that? Gemara goes on to explain. Rav Meir sefer adam rotzeh shetesbas eishu be beis din. Rav Meir has no problem having the wife go to beis din. And so therefore, what do we need to do in order to resolve the issue? We need to go to Beis Din? Fine. That's fine. And Rav Elazar Sofer, Ein Adam Rotzeh Shetesbasa Isha BeBeis Din. And Rav Elazar is of the position that, no, he don't want his wife to go to Beis Din. And so therefore, if there's a requirement of Chakir's Chacham, no thank you. I don't want it. Okay. So, with all that stated, let's go back. So, we are addressing really the opening point of today's daf. I mean, I started on Ein Dalmud Beis, but basically, where are we right now? We have answer number one submitted. What was the question? Steer is between brises. One brises says that if you're a Mekadisher, al Tanai, and then what happens is that you learn that she has a Nedarim, and you stipulated that she shouldn't have Nedarim, so going to a Chacham, is that going to be a resolution to the problem? In other words, because the chacham will be mata the neder, and is that going to be resolution? Brisa number one says yes, problem resolved. You can remain married. And Brisa number two says no, problem not resolved. So what is that the issue over here? So answer number one of the Gemara, machlokas tanaim. What's the machlokas tanaim? Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, whether or not a husband would be interested in having his wife go to Beis Din. Rav Meir says no problem, the wife can go to Beis Din, and that would represent Brisa number one. And so since the wife can go to Beis Din, so you go to Beis Din, and she'll be mata the neder, and shama yisrael, and they lived happily ever after. On the other hand, according to Rav Elazar, ein adam rotzeh, a person does not want his wife to go to Beis Din. And now what? Now I stipulated that you shouldn't have neder. Now you have a neder. And now what's the solution? You're going to go to Beis Din in order to get it undone? I don't want you to go to Beis Din. Now it's interesting over here. I'm going to state the obvious, meaning that over here, I don't want you to go to Beis Din, and therefore we're going to have to get a divorce. Or in this particular case, the marriage is going to get annulled. Meaning, even at the cost of losing the marriage, still, ein adam rotzeh. A person does not want his wife to go to Beis Din. Right? And I'm just acknowledging that that's a little bit strange. Meaning, generally speaking, a husband doesn't want his wife to go to Beis Din. But if what's that cost over here is the marriage, maybe an exception can be carved out. Okay. As far as answer number one is concerned, no. It's a fundamental issue whether or not a person is interested or not interested in having his wife go to Beis Din. Okay. Ad kan. That takes us to answer number one in terms of resolving between the two brises. Gemara gives a second answer. We're on Ayin Hamad Aleph. We are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, less. So the Rava Amar, Hacha b'Isha Chashuva Skinan. So Rava says we're talking about Isha Chashuva. Meaning, again, Brisa number one said going to a chacham it resolves the situation. Bryce number two says going to a chacham will not resolve the situation. So Rav's answer is we're talking about isha chashuva. Damar lo nichali de itzar bekrava saha. So she is a woman that is a significant woman coming from a significant family. And therefore what? Therefore, if let's say, for example, it was an Isha Chashuva, so now what? So now if he wants to get rid of her via a divorce, what is that now going to mean? This is going to be interesting. What it's now going to mean is that obviously his relationship with her is terminated, but on top of that, his ability to marry any one of her family members also is terminated as well, right? Because of Arias, meaning he can't marry now his sister, his mother, her sister, her mother. In other words, he can't marry any of those people. In other words, if in fact the marriage is going to be sanctioned and it's going to be terminated through divorce. On the other hand, if let's say the marriage were annulled, so if the marriage is annulled, perfect. So now he's allowed to marry any one of her family members. So if she's an Isha Chashuva, so how would he prefer that the marriage terminate? Not through divorce. It's giving him the ability to marry any one of her relatives. Meanwhile, the Brisa that says it's better to go through a divorce, she's not Isha Chashuva. So Yahachi Seifa Diktani Avahusha Shahalachetzo Chacham Vihitiro Eitzel Rofe Vripe Oso Mikudeshes. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a Seifa the Brisa. And that is, what if he had a neder? Or what if he had a mum? And he went either to a chacham or to a doctor, respectively, in order to resolve. So listen, so the Gemara says, okay, so what I should be expecting now is the following, meaning Rava, if you're right, that there's a distinction to be made between an Isha Chashuva and an Isha She'en Chashuva. A woman coming from a prominent family, a woman not coming from a prominent family. And therefore, we had a discrepancy between two brises. And now we're resolving between the two brises. So here's what I would expect. That in the case where the husband also had either a neder or a mum, and he went to a doctor, what I would expect is there to be a contrasting brisa that tells me that when it comes to the husband, the going to a chacham does not help. Meaning there should be basically a parallel brisa regarding the husband as well. And what we should now say is that, and then our resolution, well, there's a difference between an Adam Chashev and an Adam Shana Chashev. Meaning, why don't we see all that according to you, Rava? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. So ihi b'chol dehu nichala. So the Gemara's answer is no, because when it comes to a woman, so a woman is not that particular who she marries. Okay, this idea that the Gemara is expressing right now, we've seen numerous times throughout Shas, right? Especially here in Seder Nashim, right? I have not kept a count in terms of how many times we've heard this, but basically, women are happy to have a companion, and the companion may not be the greatest, but nevertheless, a woman like companionship. So the Gemara says it much stronger than I'm saying it. So I bechol dehu nichala. She'll settle for anything. So Kidre Shlakish, Amr Shlakish, Tavla Mesef Tandu, Mela Mesef Armalu. Reish Lakish says that a woman would rather be paired rather than being a widow. So, and the Gemara gives a couple of expressions. All this we heard earlier. We saw this back in Yevamos. We get to see this again in Ksuvos. So three different statements of Amarayim describing basically what a woman's ready to settle for. Abai Amar Deshum Shemana Gavra Kurse Becharasa Ramila. So Abai says, look, if her husband is particularly short, but still, she's married. So once she's married, she can take her chair and put it amongst nobility. Okay, in other words, there's a status to being married. Right? Ada Yamazeh, right? There's a box to check if you're married. Okay, so fine, that's expression number one. Expression number two, Rav Papa. Rav Papa Amar Denafsa Gavra. Tikre b'sife bava v'tesav. Rav Papa says, let's say your husband has not got the most prestigious job. What does he do? He combs wool. Okay, still. In other words, what she's going to do is she's going to take her chair, put it alongside him, and sit by him by the threshold of the house. In other words, again, the idea of companionship and that women are happy with whatever, whoever their husband may be. And Rav Ashi Amar, Dekalsa Gavra, Rav Ashi says, look, if a woman's married to a man who's not from a particularly prestigious family, so lo ba tafakha lekadera, she's not going to be making that many demands in the house. She's not going to demand lentils for her soup in the house. Meaning, again, she's happy with the companionship. Okay, three different ways the Amoraim are expressing that basically a woman wants to have a companion. And so now going back to our question, why don't we have this idea that a woman's going to make the claim? Oh, I don't want our marriage to end in divorce because I want the ability to be able to marry any one of your family members. In other words, no, as far as a woman's concerned, look, he had a problem. Either he had a neder or he had a mom and it was treated. Okay, good. Right. Problem resolved. And all right. I'm happy with anyone. Okay. And Tana. And then we saw this back in Yevamos, and we get to see this again right now. And that is v'kula mizanos v'solos bebalehen. Despite the fact that a woman likes a companion, but on the other hand, if her husband is definitely not on her, not in her league, not in her caliber, so what she's going to end up doing, she'll be mizana. She'll be with other men. She'll get impregnated by other men. Okay, so she'll say that she'll tell her husband mazel tov. This is your child. Okay, and that is an extraordinarily biting comment on the part of the Gemara. The Gemara is taking a realistic approach to the fact that yes, it's true a woman wants to be married, and yes, it's true a woman will settle. All that is true per se. On the other hand, however, if the husband is not of her league and not of her caliber, so it's not going to be the most successful marriage. And again, I'm saying it nicely. The Gemara said it much, much stronger than the way I said it. Komum Shaposlin. Okay, we're in Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. We're halfway down the Amud. And so now we get to the physical blemishes, right? The husband now is unaware that his wife has a physical blemish. It was not revealed. In the upcoming Mishnah, what we're going to learn together is when was discovery made? And that obviously is going to be significant. So the when discovery was made is coming up in just a little bit. But right now the what, meaning what is going to qualify as a physical blemish in which it should have been disclosed, and if it wasn't disclosed, so it can be grounds for divorce, and because of a lack of disclosure, it'll be a forfeiture of iksuva. So what kind of blemishes are we talking about? I'm sorry, before we get to Hosifu, before we get to the addition, so remember what we learned in the Mishnah? So reminder. So the Mishnah taking us back to Ayin Beis Amud Beis. So the Mishnah said, Kol hamumim b'posim b'kohanim, posim b'nashim. So all you have to know is a Perek in Becharos. The Perek in Becharos tells us what physical deformities would prevent a Kohen from doing the Avoda. A Kohen who is a Baal Mum cannot do the Avoda. And so take all those physical blemishes by the Kohanim in Becharos and just simply apply it over here, meaning whatever is physical deformity over there is physical deformity over here, and that would be and good. And now you know the list. Okay, that's the baseline. Okay, so obviously now what I'm not going to do right now, but now just simply download, insert all the mumim that are mentioned in Becharos. Good. Now that you have all that, we're going to add to the list. That's the Hosifu. So now an Ein Hey, so Tana. So in a brisa, Hosifu Aleihem, Zeh V'Shuma V'Recha Peh. So additional, in other words, aside from cross-matching all the mumim in Becharos to our Mishnah over here in Ksuvos, additionally, what you have to do is you're going to add a woman who is perspiring. Now, obviously, over here, we're talking about abnormalities. So therefore, perspiration doesn't simply mean like people perspire. Everybody perspires. Perspiration over here means it's extensive. She's got a mole, and recha peh, and she's got bad breath. So once again, by the way, we're talking about abnormalities, meaning everybody's got bad breath, right? It's called, toothbrush and mouthwash, and in other words, there's an industry. It's not a cottage industry, right? So it means that these are abnormalities. Okay, so v'hani b'kanu lo pasu, so the Gemara says, wait a second. By virtue of the fact that we're adding it to the list, what does that mean? It means that it wouldn't possible a Kohen. The Gemara says, are you sure about that? Vatanan, meaning here, let's learn a mission together. Okay, so, too old, too sick, or too, forgive me for just saying it bluntly, but too smelly. So if you're too smelly, so then you'll be possible as a Kohen. Okay, so what we have over here now is it's a simple challenge. Our Brisa tells us that we've added it to the list for Mumen by women. And meanwhile, in Bechoris, it sounds like it's a Mumen for Kohen as well. So I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, Lokasha, Kambezei, Overes, Kambezei, Shein, Overes. So what we're going to do is we'll make a distinction whether or not it is perspiration that can be treated. And perspiration, Eino Overes, there's nothing that you could do that can treat it. Rav Ashi, Amar Zeh, Amuz, Am Karamiz. Rav Ashi says, look, I don't even think the question gets off the ground. Look carefully at the words that are used. Here, the word that we're using is Zeya. The word over there in Bechoros is Muzam. They're not the same. So, Hasim Gabi Kohen, Mef Shalav, Rabbi Kiyua, Dechamra, Umeirecha, Ben Nami, Efshad, Denaka, Pilpule, Bipume, Vavad Avoda. So, when it comes to the Kohen, so what can he do? So, he can treat it using wine, okay? Not right, the Kiyua, Dechamra. Right, the sharpness of the wine. It sounds a little bit more like vinegar. However it's treated. Point is, it's treatable. And same thing with bad breath when it comes to a Kohen. Right, you put a breath mint in your mouth and you can do the avoda. So avagabi isha lo efshar. But when it comes to isha lo efshar, the way Rashi understands it, is that when it comes to a woman, in other words, when you're doing the avoda, let's go back to the Kohen. When you're doing an avoda as a Kohen, so you're doing the avoda for what? A half an hour, even 2 hours? Okay, so for that short amount of time, you can tend to the problem and do some makeshift solutions in order to resolve the issue for an hour, 2 hours. But over here, husband and wife, they're together all the time. And so if this is a chronic issue, so there's no way that she could be treating it all the time, and they're together all the time. That's the way Rashi says it over. Okay. So that's now in terms of the distinction to be made between foul smells by Kohanim, foul smells when it comes to a woman. Hayshuma Echidamia. Okay, so now the Gemara talks about moles and warts, and what are we talking about over here? Again, it was added to the list, right? Zeya Vishuma Virechapa. Those are the three categories that were added to the list. And so Shuma, what are we talking about? Ishuma Gedola Hi Hachavacha Pasla. So if we're talking about Shuma Gedola, that's going to pass both by a woman and by a Kohen. And Ishuma Ketana, he hachavacha lo pasla. And did I skip a little bit? Yes, I did. I knew it. Hai Shuma Hechidamia. I skipped a line. Sorry. I'm going to go back, right? Okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to start from Hai Shuma. Hai Shuma Hechidami. Idis be Seyar hachavacha pasla. So if the mole's got a hair in it, so that passes both by Kohanim and by women. And idalo is beisayar. There we go. So ishuma gedola hi hachavacha pasla. Ishuma ketana hi hachavacha lo pasla. And if it doesn't have a hair in it, so then it's going to be a function of the size. Big, pasle. Small, not pasle. D'tanya shuma sheish bas seyar hare zemom. Ein bas seyar gedola hare zemom ketana in zemom. Okay, so good. And the brisa over here really spells it out. So that when the mole has a hair in it, it's going to be a mole. And when it doesn't, then it's a function of size. Ezi gedola pirsh rav shem and gamlil ad ki isari talki. And when we're talking about how much area we're talking about, the size that will pasle, it's the size of an Italian coin. Okay, now. I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Ba'omen of Salpadachta. So the Gemara says, and specifically, where is the mole located right now? It's located in our forehead. So the Gemara says, Padachta, Rav, and if I yisu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, if we're talking about a mole that smacked right on her forehead, so that means that you saw it already. You, the husband, saw it already. Why? Because you went out on a date, right? From the Gemara standpoint, husband and wife went out on a date before they got married? Yes. not only yes, but required. Meaning, the Gemara in Kedushin, the second paragraph of Kedushin says that he has to see her before he marries her. Right? If I remember the Gemara correctly, it's a function of Vahafta L'Recha Kamocha. Meaning that there has to be a level of compatibility, and so you have to see her before you marry her. So yes. Now, if you saw her, so granted, by the way, of course you didn't do an examination, right? That's perfectly inappropriate, but if the mole is sitting right there on her face, on her forehead, so of course you saw it over there. Now, if you saw it and you're a Mekadisher, you know what that means? It means you're a Mochel, Right? So that's exactly the Gemara's question. So, Amar Papa Be'omeres La Tachas Kippa Sharosha. V'zimin de Mischazia, v'zimin de la Mischazia. So the Gemara says, well, it was situated on the top of her forehead. Sometimes it was covered. Right? She's covering her forehead even at this early point of the relationship. Sounds that way. I don't fully understand that, but that's okay. In other words, but basically, the Gemara gives an ukimta where it was situated on her forehead. So on one hand, it's unseemly. On the other hand, it's possible that you didn't see it. So Amar Rav Chista Hamilsam Igav Rabbi Shmieli Uman Rabbi Shila Neshcha Kelav Nasim Mekom Atzalekes Harei Zemum. Let's say she got bitten and she has scar. She has significant scarring. So that's going to be considered a mum. Amar Rav Chista. Okay, so basically add that to the list as well. And Amar Rav Chista Kolava Biisha Harei Zemum. Shenamar Ki Kolech Arev. A woman, if her voice is too thick, let's just leave it as a thick voice, as if I fully understood that, but I have a basic idea of what the Gemara is trying to articulate. So that also is going to be considered a mum as well. And the pasuk kolech arev umarinava. So the pasuk in Shir Shirim describes that a woman's voice is going to be something which is pleasant and easy to listen to. Okay, and this one is not. Tani Rabbi Nasan Bira Bein Da De Isha Tefach. Okay, so the Gemara over here is going to be very graphic and very detailed in terms of the mumim as it relates to women. So over here, the Gemara is talking about Da De Aisha, and the Gemara over here gives a shear of a tefach. Now, that is describing what, and is it a positive statement or a negative statement? So, at first, the Gemara thought that we're making a positive statement. So Amale Rav Ashi Gabi Mum and Tanya. So Rav Ashi corrects immediately and says, no, it's a mum. It's a mum. Now, when we say tefach, what is the Gemara describing over here? As it will become clear? No, sorry, I take that back. As Rashi explains, right, that's more accurate. So what we're talking about is the distance between the Dadeh Ha'isha. So the Gemara says that that's a mum. Meaning if the distance between them is a tefach, so that's an abnormality. The Kamar Amar Abai Shal Shetzbo. So what is not considered abnormality? What is within the range of normalcy? 3 tefachim. Which admittedly, by the way, is not a big difference. Meaning, tefach is 4 etzbaos. So now we're talking about 3 etzbaos. Okay. Tanya Rabbi Nasan Amar Kalisha Shadada Gasim Mishal Chaverta Harei Zemom. Now, it's not perfectly clear what the Gemara is saying over here, but I will offer a pshat. And from Rashi, it seems like this is the pshat. Although there is a word in Rashi which is in parentheses. If you read that word, it sounds like what I'm about to say is, in fact, what Rashi is suggesting. And that is that what we're describing is asymmetrical, meaning that the dadim are asymmetrical. One is larger than the other, and that is going to be considered a mum. The kamar amar of Mesha, barbare de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, mishmei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi tefach, meaning if one dad is larger than the other by a tefach, so that is asymmetrical, considered a mum, and therefore it could be grounds for a get. Umi'ika ki agavna, the Gemara says, yeah, is such an abnormality exist in? The Gemara says, sure, it does. Amar Rabba Barbachana, ani reisi arav ya'achas, shiv shila dadel acharav, inikas bana. So the Gemara gives testimony, empirical data, that such a phenomena exists. A woman nursed her child while the child was behind her, and so therefore, yeah, in other words, it's possible for a woman to have a dad of that size. Okay, we'll take a moment before we get to the next Mishnah. A couple of drushas. Oh, let's see. I know. The obvious questions, which I'll take a hard pass on the obvious questions that are headed my way. Oh, let's see. On Yomar Ish Ish Yulad Ba V'Hu Yichoneneha Elyon. Okay, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, and why bring up this drasha now? So I assume it's the same Ba Memra. Okay. Anyway, so Amar Rav Meisha Bar Bereder of Yeshua Ben Levi Echad Anol Above Echad. So who's going to go back to Tzion, right? When Mashiach comes and we're all headed back, so who is headed back? So the Gemara says, I'll give you 2 categories of people who head back there. Those who were born in Eretz Yisrael, right? So the our Sabra community, so they don't even have to head back. They're there already. And on top of that also, Hamitzapa Lerosa. So if you are somebody who's interested in going back, so what we describe nowadays as being a Zionist. Good. I understand that's a loaded It's a that's a that's a it's a it's a loaded term, but still, the point is that you're mitzapa. You're interested in going back to Eretz Yisrael. Good. So you're a Zionist. So those are the people where they well, you're going to be collected and you're going to go back. So Amar Abaye v'chad mineu adif k'trei minan. And here is a couple of really interesting gemaras before we start the next Mishnah, and that is quality of Talmud Chacham in Bavel versus Eretz Yisrael. So Abaye says, now mind you, Abaye of course is Chachmei Bavel. And he says, look, one of them is worth two of us. So, meaning that they're much sharper than we are. So in Eretz Yisrael, okay, Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machkim, whatever. It's just, to this very day we see it. You go to Eretz Yisrael and all of a sudden you're learning, you're succeeding, right? It's undeniable. So meanwhile, so good. So two of us is worth one of them, right? They're two times greater than we are. But then the Gemara makes another comment, Amarava, v'chad minan, kisal klahasam adif ketre minayu. Da Rabbi Yirmiyah dechihava hachalo havayada maika amre, Rabbanan, and kisal klahasam karilam bavlai tifshai. And he says, but meanwhile, if one of us, meaning one of the Chachmei Bavel, go to Eretz Yisrael, so here's what's going to happen. So we will become two times greater than any one of them once we get there. So in other words, the potential of the Chachmei Bavel is much greater than the potential of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. Right? And the Gemara tells a story with Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah, before he made Aliyah, so what could he say in learning? Not a whole lot. So, right, and I hate to say that, but that's exactly what the Gemara says. Lo havayade my kamri rabbanan. He sat there in shir and he didn't understand what was going on in shir. And then kisalik la'asim, but when he makes aliyah and he goes to Eretz Yisrael, so karilam bavlai tifshai. So now he's far surpassed us. He looks back at what we're doing here in Bavel and he says, bavlai tifshai. And not a complimentary statement to his past colleagues. Okay, good. We are now starting the Mishnah. We are on Ein Hei Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, and we are now going to have an important, but really it's going to be a little bit of a difficult discussion regarding discovery of the Mum. When was the Mum discovered? Okay, so for today's daf, we went over whether or not going to a doctor or going to a Chacham to treat either the Mum or the Neder. Whether or not that's going to salvage the marriage. Now, I say salvage the marriage, by the way. I just want to make sure that I'm presenting it more accurately and more contextually correct in our Gemara. Meaning, you were Mekadisher Al-Tanai, and you said, no mum. And you said, no nedarim. And meanwhile, she had a mum, she had a neder. Okay, so, under those circumstances, now, is it treatable? Is it curable? So, yes, you can go to a Chacham, but in other words, is that going to... is that going to undo your Tanai? So when it comes to mum, it's not going to. And again, why? Because the mum, even as you go to the doctor to have it treated, that's only mikan ulaba, it's not lamafreya. What about a neder? So as it relates to a neder, so the neder does go back to the origination. Do you want your wife to go to the basin in order to have the neder uprooted? That's a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. And that could be one of the resolutions the Gemara had regarding the stira between the brises. Good. That's what we did so far today. And what we've done also today is that we went over what's a mum. Right now, when a man says, I'm not marrying a woman with a mum, so what exactly is a mum? So all you have to do is just first know the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and Bechoros, that gives us what the mum is regarding a Kohen. Then, after that, you go to our Gemara, our Daf today, Ein Hei, where the Gemara gives additional mum that also exists by women as well. Okay. Hayuba mum v'oda beveis aviyah. So now, as we're on the Mishnah, on the bottom, Ein Hei Amud Aleph, so here's what's happening. What's happening is that we are discussing a mum that was not congenital. Now, you're going to ask me, how do you know it's not congenital? I don't know. Good. So I don't know. Clearly, however, it is absolutely evident and clear in our Mishnah that we're talking about non-congenital mumim. It was something that developed later in her life. Okay? And I'm just saying that as a fact. That's what we're litigating right now. That's what we're discussing right now. So if it's a congenital blemish and everybody knew it was a congenital blemish, there's nothing to talk about. But it's not. So there was a mum, and it was after Erusin. And Rashi writes over here, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, in ba litva ksuva min erusin, mizeh shemama in lekachta. So what's happening now is the following, is that it's post-erusin, and now he discovers mom, and he doesn't want to marry her. Now he's married to her, by the way. So, but he doesn't want to pay her the ksuva, and I know normally there's not a ksuva. No, just erusin, just kiddushin. Kedushin and Erusin are synonymous terms. And normally there's no ksuva by the point of Erusin. Over here there is. Okay, anyway, the point of the matter is we're just now, it's an assignment of fault, meaning who right now is responsible. So the Mishnah tells us that Hayuba Mum Voda Bevesa Viahav Sarach Lavi Rai Shinis Arsa Hayuba Mumim Halalu Vinistap Chasadeu. So now the burden of proof goes on her father. Her father now has to somehow bring evidence that these momen materialized after the erusin. And now, if he brings evidence to that, so then he could turn to his son-in-law and say, "Look, nistap chasadeu. It's your unfortunate luck. Meaning, when you were mekadesher, she didn't have the momen. Oh, okay, the momen developed subsequently. Okay, that's life." Okay. In other words, I get, yeah. It really does. Your point is good. It doesn't matter. In other words, the point is that the burden of proof is going to be falling on her side. Yeah.
Him talking about a katana.
Okay. Yeah. In the Mishnah. Yeah. Let's say that. Nichnas l'rishus habal habal tzarech l'aviray shad shlo nisar sayu ba momim elu vayu mechach mechach tau divrei Rabbi Meir. And now, if let's say the discovery of these momim are after nisuin, so now these mumim are discovered. Now the husband has the burden of proof to show that these mumim were in fact here from an earlier stage and it was not disclosed. So the burden of proof falls on the husband. Okay. What the Gemara is going to be bothered by, which is the obvious question, is what's the difference? Meaning, why are we shifting the burden of proof just because we discovered it at Erusin versus Nisuin, meaning there really is no reason to make a distinction. Meaning, if the burden of proof falls on her side, so then it should always be her side. If the burden of proof is on his side, it should have always been on his side. It really makes a difference when it was discovered, whether it was during Erusin or it was after Nisuin.
Is any required to do his due diligence during Erusin to verify whether she got known or not?
Stay tuned. We're gonna touch on your very question. Probably tomorrow, but anyway. And the Chachamim say that this is talking about momen that are typically covered. But if there are, let's say, momen that exist on exposed parts of our body that are normally exposed, hands, feet, face, so then no taina can be made. The im yesh merchatz ba'oso a'ir. Now, if there happens to be a local bathhouse where all the women are attending, so all the women are attending one bathhouse, so then discovery is very easy. In other words, just one of his relatives is going to be at the local bathhouse because that's where all the women are, and so therefore discovery under those circumstances can be done much easier. Okay, let's start the Gemara. Yeah, let's set ourselves up for success over here. Okay, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the Masechta where we had a very basic machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua that expressed itself time and again. The Mishnah at the end of the first perek, even the Mishnah at the beginning of the second perek, went over the following. She makes a claim, he makes a claim. Who do we believe, him or her? Without going through all the examples, there are numerous examples that we had. So what were the two positions? Rabbi Gamliel says, you believe her. Rabbi Yeshua says, you believe him. Now, what's the issue over there? We have what's called competing chazakas, right? She has a chazaka. What's her chazaka? She has a cheskas aguf. In other words, she says that she was a basula, and she was a Basula at an earlier stage. So she has in Halacha what's called the Cheskas Aguf. And what does he have? He also has a Chazaka. He has what's called the Cheskas Mamon, meaning that's my money. That's my money that's in my possession, and you want to take the money away from me? So what we have now are competing Chazakas, Cheskas Aguf versus Cheskas Mamon. What's gonna beat what? That's the machlokus between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel says that the Cheskas Aguf is going to outperform the Cheskas Mamon, has more credibility than the Cheskas Mamon, and Rabbi Yeshua says the opposite. Now, with all that stated, that's just now the background. So now, time of the Maisi Avraya. Look what's happening in our Mishnah. The father has to bring a proof. Now, what does that mean? If the father, halom ma'isi avraya, the father doesn't bring a proof, abal ma'amon. So then that means to say that we have now competing claims. Her claim is that, yes, I have a blemish. This blemish materialized now. That's her claim. What's his claim? What's his claim? His claim is that his claim is that, no, the mom was there earlier and you didn't disclose it. So what we have over here is a classic situation of he said, she said. He has a claim, she has a claim. So what do we do under those circumstances? So we know. We have Rabbi Yeshua and we have Rabbi Gamliel. Who is our Mishnah seem to be following? Rabbi Yeshua, it's obvious. So, halo ma'isi abal raya. So, I'm sorry. So, let's start again from the Gemara. Time in the ma'isi av raya, halo ma'isi av raya, abal ma'am and money, Rabbi Yeshua, he, damar lo mipi anu chayim. Good. Ema seif, the Gemara says, okay. Now, can I direct your attention to the next part of the Mishnah? Because Nichnas al-Rishus Abal, where she goes into the Rishus of the husband, meaning in Nisuin. So Abal Tzarech La'avi Raya. Now he has to bring proof. So time of the Maisi Abal Raya. Halo Maisi Abal Raya Hav Mehemon. Which means what? The default is that the father is going to be believed. And when I say the father, I mean her side. She's going to be believed. So Asa L'Rav Gamliel, Damar Ne'emenes. And that brings us now to the Sheet of Rav Gamliel, where basically she's going to be believed. Effectively, what the Gemara is asking is, the Mishnah is confusing me. It's really confusing me. Meaning, who is going to have default credibility over here? Is she going to have default credibility? Is he going to have default credibility? And what I'm getting in the Mishnah is conflicting messages. Okay, so, Amar Rav Elazar, Tavra Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu. So, Rav Elazar says, okay, I know this is not the most elegant solution to the problem, but what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to split the Mishnah right down the middle. And basically, there are two halves to the Mishnah. There's the Rabbi Gamliel side to the Mishnah and the Rabbi Yeshua side to the Mishnah. And you're right, meaning you cannot synthesize the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not giving a unified approach in terms of who is given credibility. The Mishnah is just simply two halves, with one half reflecting Rabbi Gamliel and the second half reflecting Rabbi Yeshua. Let me just say everything I just said, but let me correct myself. The first half is going like Rabbi Yeshua and the second half is going like Rabbi Gamliel. So, the Amar Rava, and we'll end today with the following point. So Rava is agreeing to this idea that you're going to have to break the Mishnah into two. Rava just simply wants to. I want to highlight a point within Rabbi Yeshua, right? Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her, but that's because they're competing chazakas. It's her cheskas aguf versus his cheskas mamon. The Gemara is just simply going to point out that if you don't have competing chazakas, her cheskas aguf is like a real thing. How do I know that? Lotem Rabbi Yeshua lo azab asa chazaka deguf klal. It's not that Rabbi Yeshua dismisses cheskas aguf. Ela ki lo azu Rabbi Yeshua basa cheskas aguf. Hechadika cheskas de mamona. It's only when you have chazakas mamona competing against cheskas aguf. Ava hechadika cheskas de mamona azu Rabbi Yeshua basa cheskas de gufa. But I'm telling you, I know Rabbi Yeshua falls cheskas aguf. How do I know? From the following brisa. Detanya. Im bairis kodim laseir lavan. Tame. Im seir lavan kodim bairis tahor. So over here, when does a person become a Metzorah? So there are numerous variations of Tzaraas. We're just focusing on a white mark with a hair. And here, for a person to become Tameh, so there has to be a sequence. Specifically, the Baharis, the white spot, has to come before the hair. So under those circumstances, a person's Tameh. If, however, the hair comes before, the hair whitens before the spot, so then the person's tahor. Okay, so you have to know sequence. And safek, now let's say you don't know, meaning that you wake up and there's a spot and there's a white hair and you don't know which one came first. So that's called a safek. What do you do with such a safek? So tameh, so according to the Tanakh, it's tameh, and Rabbi Yeshua Amar, keha. Now that's an unusual term, and Rashi does spend a number of lines trying to explain what that term means. For our purposes right now, I'm just looking at the time. It's tahor. Meaning, Rav Yeshua says that in such an event, it's tahor. So my kea marabba kea tahor. And why? Why is a person tahor? Answer is very simple. Cheskas haguf. Because prior to going to bed, was that person a mitzora or not a mitzora? Not a mitzora. So the chazaka dictates that the person was in fact a tahor or a tahora. And now what happens is that now we have a question because there is a nega. There's also a white hair. We don't know which one came first. Okay. So now in the case of Safik, what do I do? Cheskas haguf. Cheskas haguf told us that this person was tahor. Person remains tahor. Good. All we're just showing is that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Cheskas HaGuf is a thing. It's a real halachic indicator, right? It's a determinant in halacha. And the only reason why Rabbi Yeshua in our case says that we believe him as opposed to her is because he has a Cheskas Mamon. And now it's just a question of the competing chazakas, Cheskas Mamon versus Cheskas HaGuf, which one is going to win out. Okay. It is a suffix daraisa, but in other words, but it's a suffix daraisa with a chazaka. A chazaka also operates on a daraisa level. Okay, good. Okay, so where are we right now? Let's quickly recap. Okay, so in today's daf, we had a stira between braisas. She made a neder. He said, I'm not marrying you with a neder. She made a neder. She had a neder. And now what? Can she go to a chacham and be matir the neder and live happily ever after? One braisa says yes, the other braisa says no. And the Gemara gives numerous answers in terms of how to resolve that. Then, the Gemara in Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, halfway down, takes us to Mumim. What are physical blemishes? Right? She had a physical blemish, and she didn't disclose it, and it's grounds for divorce and a forfeiture of her ksuva. What is a physical blemish? So first know the Mishnayos and Becharos, then come back here to Ksuvos, where we get a supplemental list as well. So what we did this morning is that we went through the supplemental list, noted why are these not included by Kohanim, and the Gemara gives answers to it. In addition to that, the Gemara also gives other physical deformities that exist within a woman, which could serve as grounds for divorce. Okay. And then, on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, on the bottom, we started the Mishnah, and the Mishnah talks about when the mum was discovered, and if it was discovered, Beveis Avia. So then the burden of proof falls on her side. If it was discovered after Nisuin, the burden of proof falls on the husband's side. So why over here have we shifted the burden of proof? So right now we're in the first approach of the Gemara. We just finished the first approach of the Gemara, and that is, don't try to resolve the Mishnah. The Mishnah is just simply reflecting the shitas of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel, respectively. First half of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshua. Second half of the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel. Tomorrow, the Gemara is going to try for a method of synthesizing.